T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We are the home of the Falcons, and we talk Falcons at high noon every single day. And we've got Dave Archer now on the WadeForIt.com hotline. He, John Westerham, all the great people with the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. We love them all. Arch, how you doing this afternoon, man?
Excellent. Doing excellent. You guys?
Excellent. Wow. Okay, new adjective. Yeah, once again, eschewing the G word, Arch.
Yeah, that's only reserved for, like, the guys I did last night. I had a fireside chat, or a little locker room chat with LaVon Kirkland, Greg Lloyd, and Jerome Bettis, the Hall of Famer last night. A lot of fun for Buddy Curry and Bobby Butler, my former teammates that run Kids in Pros, mentoring program for kids. So really cool evening with those guys. Those guys were great players.
Yeah, that's an awesome combination. You're talking about three really, really good guys that could get after it when they played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Arch with us. All right, let's bounce back to Sunday. 27-7. I said on the postgame show, Arch, I thought it was the best performance the Falcons had all year. What made it all come together against Dallas?
Well, I think there was a sense of urgency, John. I think that they realized that, they kind of played themselves into a little bit of a corner. You can't lose another game at home. I think all the games at home are playoff games. You lose a home game, I think it might seal your fate. So they had to win at home. And I think, it lights a fire under you when you're going to play a team like the Dallas Cowboys, heritage team, a team that's also fighting for a playoff spot. So all those things came together. I think that they realized that they're better than they're playing. And all that stuff came together, and they performed at the level they're capable of performing at.
We're going to be talking some college football with Dave Archer here at the end of the segment, but we'll focus on the Falcons for now. And Arch, read between the lines the move of taking Terrence McGee from the Browns practice squad, Devontae Freeman in the concussion protocol. Is this a sign that Free is going to miss multiple weeks?
Well, I think it could, John. Rick, it could, because this obviously isn't the first time he's had to deal with this, and obviously in the last year and a half he's had to deal with it 3 times. So I think you get a little concerned about that. I think the loss of Brian Hill was a little surprise to him. I know that Coach Quinn had spoken about him, and he thought that he was coming along. He had made some progress in the last couple of weeks in their Plan B program, which they do after practice, where they spend a lot of time with some of their younger players and some of the guys they're trying to develop. So that was a bit of a disappointment to him to lose him. I think they were planning on elevating him probably, or something of that nature. But so McGee, yeah, absolutely. You got to have 3 backs. We've had 3 backs on the roster the whole year. And so you got to bolster that area with the addition of McGee. I think a little bit of surprise that Hill was snatched away from him.
Arch, Adrian Claiborne, 6 sacks. He picked up a $250,000 bonus and a $750,000 bonus. For now, he's got 8 sacks on the year. Where does that rank games you've called as far as how great a defensive player was?
Yeah, that's as good as it gets, John. I have never called a game where a guy had 6 sacks. I mean, it's unbelievable. And he's one of my favorite guys to talk to, one of my favorite people that I've had a chance to be around. Ironically enough, 2 of my favorite guys all time for the Falcons, and there's a handful of them, are Jonathan Babineau and now Adrian Claiborne. Both of them are Hawkeyes, so it's really against my nature to do that. But, yeah, it was a phenomenal game by him. Take advantage of the opportunity. Obviously, there was a guy out there that had deer in the headlight look in his face with Claiborne coming off the edge. And you took advantage of it. But, yeah, one of the great performances, certainly, in NFL history. Only 4 times it's ever been done better than that, you know.
Yeah, Arch, I've been calling it the greatest defensive performance in Falcons history, and I don't feel like that's hyperbole. Dave Archer joining us on the WadeForIt.com hotline. Arch, tell me about the optics of Matt Ryan kind of getting a little heated, getting frustrated, and I liked it. Did you?
Yeah, Matt got frustrated with the fact that he didn't get the call, first of all. It was roughing the passer. I mean, the guy dives into the back of his legs, and then they get together. Hockley pumps out 3 or 4 more sets of curls and decides that it wasn't a penalty, that Jake Matthews had shoved him into the back. Yeah, they could clearly see it. The guy was going to the ground, stumbling into Ryan, and Matthews just had his arms extended. But But I think he got frustrated with the fact that he was getting hit, and I think that he verbalized that. It's not the first time he's ever done that. For some reason, people think over the 10 years that Matt's here, he doesn't say boo. I mean, he's jumped people's rear end since he's been here. But that was one that I think people probably saw a little bit more because he was visibly upset that there wasn't a call. And this offensive line hasn't played great. I think that they played average to below average for the year. I think that that's an area they're going to have to pick up in the final seven games. They're not going to have a chance to go to the postseason. They're going to play better on the offensive line.
Arch, a lot of people have given Matt a lot of flack for what's going on this year with the interceptions and whatnot. But if you look over the last three games, 113 rating in the win against New York, a 95.6 in the loss to Carolina, 104 rating against Dallas. He's averaging about 260 yards a game, 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. What's Matt done differently, or is it just simply they're playing better as a group?
Well, I think it's a combination of some things. I think Matt's been better with the ball. I think that he's tried to take a little bit more of what they're giving him. I don't think he's tried to shove it into, you know, when you get the ball taken away like it's been taken away this year from him, where you throw virtually perfect passes that hit guys in the chest or in the hands and they volleyball the ball in the air and it's picked off, you've got to reevaluate how you're distributing the ball. And so now you not quite as in a hurry to put it in harm's way, because you've got to make sure that the guy's going to catch it, so you don't stick it into some of those tight windows that you really need to stick it into if you're going to win in this league. You have to be able to make those throws. He's willing to do it. I think he's choked it back a little bit on some of those. Now, the one to Sanu this weekend was obvious pass interference. The guy has his arms all over Sanu, so the ball gets popped in the air. We don't get the call, which has kind of been standard operating procedure this year as well. But those tip passes are crazy. You got eight interceptions and 6 are off tip passes. But over the last few weeks, I think that he's done a better job of his idea of how he wants to distribute it. I think he's gotten some better help from the people playing around him, and it's translated into some decent play.
Choked it back a little bit, huh?
Yeah, you want to choke it back a little bit. You ever heard of choke it a little bit? That cuts the motor a little bit. I don't know. Do you mow your own lawn, Rick? You don't think you mow your own lawn, do you?
No, I'm retired from mowing my lawn. And I'm also not a squirt guy, so I don't understand that reference.
No, you're definitely not a squirt guy.
And by the way, Rick, he works squirt guy into the broadcast. Who'd you call a squirt guy the other day? Was it Switzer? You called him a squirt guy?
Yeah. Yeah, Switzer's a squirt guy. Yeah, he's one of those squirt guys.
I don't understand why Dallas even took that guy. They already have him. His name is Cole Beasley. It's been like a 4th-round pick on that dude. It's unbelievable. Hey, Arch, I know that you and all the true football players aren't big fans of kickers, but I'm a big fan of ours. His name is Matt Bryant. Talk about how old and crusty and gray and awesome he is.
Well, you know, they talk about the crocodile as the final dinosaur, the one dinosaur that has not been extinguished from the earth, and he would be probably in that category. He can make gator noises and sounds. He can call gators to him and crocodiles to him. So he has he's got the thick skin that, you know, that can take, he's a weathered guy. So, yeah, he's a dinosaur, but he delivers, and he gets it done. I can't believe the guy's, you know, his leg's falling off in the early part of the week, and the next thing you know, he's hammering him through from 50 yards. So he obviously found the fountain of youth. Love the guy. I don't love kickers. Love this guy. Guy does a great job for us. Anytime you put him on the field, you pretty much can put the points on the board. So I like our old dinosaur kicking the ball.
Arch, one of these days we'll get back to asking you your theory on kickers and what they should have to do. But we're not going to do that after a nice compliment to Matt Bryant. All right, Devontae Freeman probably going to be out this week. Tevin Coleman had 80 yards, including a big play. What do you need to do, if anything, differently with Tevin Coleman, or is it just let it fly with this guy?
Yeah, I think that, when you hear Quinn talk about how we need to stick with the running game, and I asked him in the coach's show, I said, do you stick with the running game because of those two guys? Because I think if you've got a guy that is more of a plodder that's not going to get you, let's say you've got Jonathan Stewart, your running back. I don't think you're going to stay with the running game because you're not going to get the explosives. Well, we had 132 yards rushing. 99 yards came on 6 plays. That's what you're looking for from Tevin Coleman. Even Teron Ward had a couple of explosives as well. And I'm talking about 15-plus yard runs. There were 6 of them in the game for 99 yards of the 132. So you take that away from the 34 carries. You ran 34 times for about 32 yards on the other 28 carries, 32 yards and 28 carries. That's hard to stick with it, but the reason you stick with it is because of how explosive they are, and I think they'll continue to do that because of Tevin Coleman's ability to take it to the house at any moment.
Dave Archer joining us, Rick and John, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It looks like Earl Thomas is going to play on Monday night. Richard Sherman, of course, will not. Assess the because John and I were talking about this yesterday. What about the double revenge factor? They want to get us for the playoff loss. We want to get them for the robbery that happened in the regular season. Talk to me about Falcons and Seahawks.
Well, and that's for the fans, Rick. Obviously, the fans want this and that from a revenge standpoint. I'm not sure the players remember how the games went down, to be quite honest, other than obviously the Julio play. I think everybody probably remembers that play, and Julio probably remembers it, and now Sherman won't be in it, so that's kind of defunct as well. It's a good defense. You know, they're 12th in the league, but their defense, to me, the numbers don't really tell the story. They seem to play well in big games. It's a team that keeps you off the scoreboard. They're a team that can heat you up at the pass rush. They got two linebackers that I think are as good as in the game, in K.J. Wright and Bobby Wagner. He's a tackle machine. And then you've got the eliminator in the back end, Cam Chancellor. Now, Chancellor didn't play against us in the regular season a year ago. McDougal played in that spot. And so Wolfie see Chancellor. So with Sherman out, does Jeremy Lane get the corner spot? We'll have to wait and see there. Will they match one of the guys? They got the rookie that's playing pretty well, Griffin. Will he match against Julio Jones? So a lot of uncertainties. But make no mistake, this is a really, really good defense. And obviously on the other side, you get the best in the game when it comes to extending plays and then deciding when to run or throw it in Russell Wilson. He's playing at a high level. He's playing at an MVP level right now. So it's going to be a tough, tough contest.
Arch, I saw they brought your boy back to play defensive back out there in Seattle, and Byron Maxwell. How much do you salivate if that guy's on the field?
Well, I think you're certainly going to take a shot at him, John. But again, this is a team that plays similar to us. They're probably going to play more zone coverage than we'll play. So I'm not sure how much he's going to get singled on anybody. Remember, he flourished in this system. That's how he got his big deal to leave. Because he flourished in this zone-style system. So maybe this is the best thing that could have happened to him, is to get back in this system so he's protected by some of those safeties that are so good.
Dave Archer joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Arch, I want to talk about the college football playoff rankings that came out last night. And one of the things that John and I have been talking about is the fact that you've got Clemson one loss over undefeated Miami, and you've got Okie one loss over an undefeated Wisconsin team. John and I favor and prefer the bagel in the loss column, and we're sort of more on the undefeated perfect tip, whereas the committee is on the resume tip with Clemson and Oklahoma. Which side of that are you on?
No, I'm on the side of who you play, and Miami deserves to be there because of who they've played, not because they're undefeated. Yeah, I think that's obvious the way they've played, certainly in the last couple of weeks against two really good football teams. And for whatever reason, when a team like Miami beats Notre Dame, or when a team like Auburn beats Georgia, why is it all of a sudden we start talking about how bad Notre Dame was, or, oh, Georgia's not as good as they're supposed to be? How about just that the team that won was pretty good? And that's what Miami is. Miami is really good. I can't wait for the ACC championship game. Let's just hope these two teams don't stub their toe to get there, and we get Clemson and Miami, which will be a playoff game. Actually, 2-3 in the ACC title game. How about that? But, no, I favor who you play and what your resume looks like. I don't think Wisconsin's played anybody. I don't think they deserve to be in the top four. Miami has played some teams, and they've won. They deserve to be there.
Arch, do you think that's going to change how people try to schedule going forward with what the committee is telling you right now?
I hope it does. I hope these teams take on some of these games and play some intersectional battles. That's what we want to see. I mean, I'm doing the game this weekend, Clemson versus the Citadel. I'm going to start taking phone calls halfway through the second quarter in this game.
Are you turning into Fine Bomb?
I mean, Mercer's playing Alabama. Are you kidding me? I mean, it's nice for the FCS school to get the nice million-dollar payday, but are you kidding me? I mean, their team's going to look like a hospital ward after this game's over with. I mean, I don't get it, but this is just the way college football is here in this part of the In this time, there's this little weekend where you get these nasty games for whatever reason. I get one of them. Good for me.
Arch, give me a super quick take. Michigan, Wisconsin, first team to 10 points wins?
I think Michigan State beats them.
Right. You calling the Michigan over Wisconsin upset?
I'm calling, is it Michigan or Michigan State?
Michigan.
Wolverines.
Wolverines beat Wisconsin.
I like it. We get some Badger hate here. Archer, my guy.
Arch, we appreciate it as always, man. Have a good call at Clemson. We'll see you probably, I guess, Sunday in Seattle.
We'll look forward to it. See you guys.
All right, Arch, on the WadeFord.com hotline. We take a break. We come back. The NFL bounce coming up next. Who's apologizing?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.